This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in Loop on Sports Radio 610, where... Before we do that, I guess, we were talking about the advice that you might get from places that you would not expect, a la Draymond Green. And somebody says sometimes fortune cookies give advice that is useful, like enjoy life, and it's better to be happy than to have a wise one or something like that. Stuff like that. I feel like we're beyond the time of getting anything close to advice in fortune cookies.
Yeah.
They just have like these milk toast platitudes, and you're just like, why is this even in here? Don't even put paper in my food now.
Yeah, it just be some basic. Today is going to be a great day.
Yeah,
it just be some basic.
Man. I remember when they were actually pretty cool to look at.
Right, like
we used to break the cookie open just for the message.
Yeah. You didn't think you would actually get anything out of it. You were just like, all right, I want to see. And now I know damn well it's not nothing worth seeing.
Let me walk around with this in my pocket.
That's right,
just in case.
Save it. Put it on your little dashboard or something,
just in case.
Yeah,
all right, we go around the NFL and let's start still breaking down, you know, the results of the NFL draft. Interestingly enough, one of those being the slide that Quinn Ewers supposedly took, because I mean, we obviously were all so infatuated with Shedeur Sanders, but Ewers was the final quarterback taken in the draft, pick number 231. Obviously that was in the seventh round. And, you know, some teams had him rated higher than that, but ultimately he does not go highly. And, of course, that doesn't end up being as big of a deal as Shedeur, because it feels like when it comes to the realms of where you started, quote-unquote, seemed like Shedeur was in a much higher stratosphere. But Quinn Ewers' agent, who is Ron Slavin, told Todd Archer of ESPN.com that the day after the draft, he reached out to, quote-unquote, half the league to find out why Ewers slid that far. He said, quote, they thought he was a third or fourth round pick, too big of a name to be a clipboard holder, which I think is chicken bleep. How do you feel about the assertion that, you know, Quinn Ewers slid a whole bunch because his name was too big to be a backup holding the clipboard?
I think there's a little bit of something to that.
Really?
A little.
I think that was the reason why Shedeur slid.
Maybe.
Like, that's too big of a name to be a backup quarterback.
Yeah, because that's the thing that people came to with the idea of, like, distractions. And it's, I guess, bigger the name is part of it, but really what you're going to is, like, the, you know, the ways in which he'll get a lot of questions and then his father will get a lot of questions and that'll be covered in a lot. So, you know, in a game where even if he's not the starter, if the starter doesn't play well, then, you know, there's this secondary kind of conversation happening that you don't necessarily want.
Yeah.
Does that happen with Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, well, I ain't think that was like that with Quinn Ewers.
And that's why I said a little bit. He does have a very big name. I mean, he was a brand. He was a big-time forward-facing quarterback in college football.
Most of the quarterbacks that are getting drafted do, though. Like, I feel like
but
if you're doing
in
that.
But not in the playoffs and, you know, and all that and having, you know, been the starter at a place like the University of Texas for so long. I'm not saying that was the reason. I think he's, you know, by and large, he's off there. I think that, you know, Quinn Ewers did not have what NFL teams deemed worthy of a first through fourth type round, you know. But I think there's a little bit of that because we've always lived in a world in the NFL where the most popular guy is the backup quarterback. It's more so now. You know, if a starter struggles, they want to see, you know, the average fan wants to see the backup on the field. And when they know that backup's name and they've seen him on TV and they've seen him make plays, they want it even more so. That's why I said I think there's a little bit of to that.
Yeah, but I hear where you're trying to come from here, mm-hmm. but the problem is this has to have existed forever mm-hmm. in this. And even in the recent history where even if your assumption is correct or your assertion is correct that, you know, we're getting to an era where dudes are like folks just generally are less patient. That's been the case. Mm-hmm. Like that has been the case in recent history when it comes to dudes who have a big name as college football is a huge, huge product.
Yeah.
That is almost as big as the NFL. I feel uncomfortable saying that, but I guess you guys can parse ultimately what that means to you. But yeah, man, like I really just think Quinn Ewers isn't really that good. And when I say isn't really that good, I need to be careful
at this
about
level,
this.
Yeah.
I think, yes, it's for an NFL player. And then also, like, I don't know that there's a lot of development to be wrung out of him in addition to that. I think that's the added element of this where if you're getting a guy who is there, I don't know what else you're getting at him. But the mm-hmm. idea that he is too known to be a clipboard holder feels kind of nonsensical as an ultimate landing point and an agent trying to find a way to console the dude who teams, I guess, maybe did not feel all that highly about in a draft class that was not all that great for quarterbacks to begin with.
Let me put it this way. This is the best way I can put it. Let's say the Texans, and I don't know this, but let's say the Texans had Graham Mertz and Quinn Ewers graded about the same.
Okay.
All right? It's a lot easier to draft Graham Mertz than Quinn Ewers. That's the best way I can put it.
I agree.
Right? Graham Mertz, who's he? He's a backup. Quinn Ewers? Oh, that Quinn Ewers?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, honestly, yeah. I think that's probably the reason why they did take Graham Mertz mm-hmm. because that's somebody like we have no questions on him trying to get on the field or anything
exactly.
like that. He's an afterthought yeah. at this point.
Yeah.
But if it was Quinn Ewers, mm-hmm. like even though CJ Job is safe, of course, but it's still going to be that buzz of, oh, Quinn Ewers, yeah. Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way I can put it.
That is very interesting to view it that way.
It's kind of silly, to be honest.
Of course it is.
But yeah. I think that's how they thought. I think that's the reason why Shadur kind of mm-hmm. slid too, because these teams that do have a quarterback that's like he could lose his starting job at any moment.
Yeah.
They probably wanted to stay away from that type of stuff mm-hmm. because as soon as he throw an interception, then they're going to pan the camera over to Shadur.
Yes.
Now, the one thing I will say, though, that hey, maybe it works in the opposite way with Quinn Ewers is you have him back there. And because like he is not all that good mm-hmm. or what have you, at least in my estimation, I don't want to put that as a blanket. Maybe you are open to receiving more criticisms because people are, I guess, somewhat not, people have seen more of his game.
Yeah.
But even then, all of that reeks of a situation of like allowing the public to force your hand on a decision that does not feel all that strong. If people did indeed believe that, which I don't mm-hmm. necessarily buy, because I still think this is an agent trying to craft a narrative.
No,
that
I think that's by and large
makes his client feel better and is able to kind of spin. Yeah. What happened there. All right, some other things around the NFL, and I guess this isn't really still NFL, except he's widely respected as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever do it in the NFL coaching-wise. His name is William Belichick. He is now at UNC, which I'm sure that they are rethinking to some degree, but it seems like Bill Belichick at least has taken the last couple of weeks and looked around and be like, hey, this is not good. Mm-hmm. So let's find some other things. According to multiple sources, Belichick has been talking to at least one experienced PR specialist in the hopes of boosting his book tour. Obviously, the thing that brought him to CBS Sunday morning that gave him the explosive interview in some ways. And then also the overall interests of the North Carolina football program, mm-hmm. which has the handprints of various NFL experts and his girlfriend, Jordan. So it seems like there's conversations to possibly get a experienced PR circumstance to have the assignment that encompasses working with North Carolina directly for their football program and helping him on non-UNC matters like the book tour.
I have a question. Is this to rehabilitate his image or hers?
Yes.
Because if this outside firm is hired, I got a hunch that Jordan had the biggest voice in hiring.
All right, so you're doing the thing where you're making her Yoko Ono.
She is.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Nah, I think you're pretending like she has so much autonomy over everything in a way that I don't think she does. Like, she's had her hand in a lot of things, don't get me wrong. But, like, I think Bill Belichick can look around and be like, hey, man, this isn't working. I want to have better for myself and for my book. I think you're making it as though, like, she is puppet mastering everybody in a way that feels unfair.
I mean,
while also acknowledging that she is messed up. Like, she is absolutely.
You've read the stories.
Done a lot of messing up here.
You've read the stories.
Or I think it could be a situation where she's probably having a fit, probably pissed off.
Yes.
And he's trying to make it better. He's trying to smooth it across. Mm-hmm. Like, man, my lady, let me, I take care of this. Let me hire this so we can kind of smooth our little, you know, relationship over and make you look good in the public. Now.
Yeah. No, look, man, did you see the Dunkin' Donuts thing? Did you see the Dunkin' Donuts news that the New York Post reported?
I missed that.
The New York Post reported that Jordan Hudson forced her way into the commercial, the Dunkin' Donuts commercial that started at the Super Bowl and has been airing. Like, she was not in it. Like, she was not planned to be in it. You mentioned Yoko Ono. She's like, oh, no, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be in it. According to the New York Post, who, by the way, and is it Marchand?
Andrew Marchand,
who's one of the best in the business.
Very good.
Believe it.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about Yoko Ono. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we are. We kind of are. I mean, if he's reporting it, I think it was him. It might have been another reporter at the New York Post, but like, they had this commercial all set up, and she says, nah, I want to be in it.
And closed mouth don't get fed, man.
Nah, but you got this, like, she's writing all the statements for all these circumstances.
Well, I didn't say that, but I think she's definitely.
Nah, her shadow looms large.
She's in the mix.
Her shadow looms large, which again, like, I am kind of amazed that Bill Belichick got to this point. Mm-hmm. The dude who, you know, notoriously wants to be in charge of everything has gotten to this place where he's like, you know what? Not even just like, and I understand there are facets of this that make it a little different. But can you imagine 70-some-year-old Bill Belichick knowing what we did with the Patriots and everything, going, you know who I think is good enough to make some decisions instead of me?
Yeah.
Any 20-something-year-old.
Yeah.
Any 20, like, I don't know that Bill Belichick respects any 20-something-year-old to this point.
Yeah.
And here she come.
Yeah, but she's fine.
I wonder how this would have looked if he was still the head coach for the Patriots.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
And it would have been even more issues because I feel like college football works differently where the authoritative kind of standpoint of being the head coach is singular. In the NFL, I know that he was maybe in those places where it was kind of close to that, but nah, there's enough people around. It's like, hey, dog, this is not going to work like that. Like, this, there's other, including Robert Kraft, his homeboy. And of course, I say that tongue in cheek because he didn't get a shout out in the book. So we'll see what that ultimately comes out to. But yes, that's going to continue to be something worth watching. Talk about being a distraction.
Oh,
talk about being a distraction.
Yes. And that's one thing that he hates, you know.
Apparently not enough.
Yeah.
Apparently not enough. Mm-hmm. All right, some other things around the NFL. Cleveland Browns, a linebacker for the Cleveland Browns, his name is Devin Bush, arrested on charges of simple assault and harassment in Pennsylvania yesterday. Apparently the Browns are, quote, aware and gathering more info, as is kind of the typical way that this goes. He was drafted by the Steelers in 19, played for them for 4 years, went to Seattle, and now is in Cleveland. And God, Cleveland's got to have the worst luck of any NFL team. And that's saying something, because NFL teams don't necessarily be getting out here just like squeaky clean by any means, but yeah. They are just, wow.
They never had a smooth offseason.
Not
a long
once.
Time.
Like, it feels like, how many years would you say it's been since, like, part of the sports radio, like, staple was around this time of year, we just all get on our police scanners and making content was who got arrested.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's been, like, a solid decade since we have evolved as an industry, as a society, away from, and maybe just as a league also, not having nearly as many of these incidents. But, man, here you go. Like, it makes it more evident when one of these folks pops up with these issues.
They should change their name from Cleveland Browns to Florida Man. Because it's like every time you see Cleveland Browns in a headline, it's like Florida Man. You know, you're like, okay, this can't be good. This is not good.
What's crazy is the brother didn't even play a snap for him yet.
Not yet.
No.
He signed the contract immediately. Them spirits hit him.
He was in Pennsylvania. He wasn't even in Cleveland.
Wasn't even in Cleveland.
Like, dude, the brother got a house there yet?
That brown stink go everywhere. Man, apparently. Yeah. I appreciate all the many people pointing to the very thing that you need to point to with the Bill Belichick thing, is that there's that one thing that's undefeated, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And it's happening for him, I guess. So you typically, as we continue around the NFL, we typically would look at in that same division, the Baltimore Ravens, as being a good organization that handles things well, except for maybe one particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that's an area where you might have reason to continue to question them. John Harbaugh, the head coach of the team, in talking about the Justin Tucker situation and the investigation that has continued, the league is obviously still doing that. They drafted a kicker in the 6th round.
Mm-hmm.
Of the draft. His name is Tyler Loop. That's kind of funny to me. But according to Harbaugh, as you know, Justin's been in the building the last couple of weeks kicking and everything. Got a chance to talk a little bit. I would just say, from the standpoint of the investigation and all that, we don't know anything. We haven't been given any information, as it should be. It's all done the way it's done. We don't know anything along those lines, so we can't make any decision based on that. Every decision we make has to be on football, close quote.
Yeah, look, you know, what are the odds that Justin Tucker is going to be the starting kicker for the Baltimore Ravens?
Ooh, okay. Are we doing it? I'm going to do his percentages, because odds be messing me up.
Yeah, percentage is fine.
I will put that at a 15%.
I'm going to say 25%.
I'm going to say less than 5.
That I wanted to go there, but I was like, what are the odds in a circumstance that maybe, just maybe, the NFL investigation, remembering the NFL doesn't have subpoena power and all those things, that they get to a place where they can't really come up, substantiate anything, and he get out here being, understanding that historically he has been one of the greatest, if not the greatest kickers in the NFL. I know he's kind of stunk recently.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets out here kicking better and he wins a debate, wins that battle, then, but I feel like a lot of things have to happen in order to get.
See, that's the thing. Like, I put 25% because I don't think they're gonna look at the situation. They gonna see if he can squeeze out of that situation. And if he's really good, if he's still good, if he stinks, then it's like, nah, we gonna move in a different direction. But if he's still good and he come out of this thing clean, yeah, I don't see them just moving on.
I do.
Just for morals.
I do. I think 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. 2, as in he had a bad year, plus 2, they used a draft pick on a kicker.
6th rounder.
A 6th round kicker is like a 2nd round everything else, or first. The fact that they used the
shout out to Bobby Aguayo, 2nd round pick.
That's right. I was trying to remember who it was.
Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah. But like, you use a 5th and 6th round pick on a kicker, that's like a 1st or 2nd round pick. I mean, you put 2 + 2, man, it still equals 4. I can't see Justin Tucker being the kicker.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it's slim pickings, but I can see a small path. But yeah, it just feels like they're done there. But they're really leaning on, we're not going to be the ones to do this.
Sure.
We're letting the NFL take any bullets that may come from
that. Do you think he make it to camp?
Yeah, probably.
Like, he's going to go through camp, preseason, all that
now
stuff.
That you mentioned that, maybe not.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if he can make it to camp in preseason, then I think that might be a strong chance for him, unless he stinks.
Yeah.
Unless he really is really out here looking bad. Mm-hmm. Then I think it's a high chance he might survive this.
I feel like the NFL would like to have this done and buried before they get to that circumstance. Yeah. Because I don't know that you want a potential like news of the actual story, like mm-hmm. or whatever they come up with their investigation.
Yeah.
Being running in that same time period where, you know, people are talking about a lot of NFL, or maybe you do. Maybe that's a time when you have other things that might drown it out.
Sure.
But then like him, if he ultimately does get cut or whatever, all of that storyline, mm-hmm. just like where is the place where you could bury that most? Is that in the doldrums, I guess, as you're kind of going through camp type stuff? Or is that, or like mini camp type stuff, off season type stuff, or is
distractions?
That, is that into yeah. the point where you're in training?
Because I'm wondering too, like maybe it could be a contract thing, but why didn't they cut bait with him now?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they just waiting on that process to kind of.
They don't want
to
be too hasty with it, I don't think.
Well, yeah. I think they don't want to carry the onus of responsibility,
right.
Which again makes it so that I don't want to hear y'all get out here talking about zero tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I understand that might be kind of unfair because we live in an American society where the expectation is innocent until proven guilty. But you get out here, people love pounding their chest on the zero tolerance and everything that implies, but don't necessarily actually act in that space. And I'm like, I understand why you would not be zero tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think that you can gain the benefit of being out here beating your chest on that. And if he's 7'1", 3", if Justin Tucker does get cut, the Browns will definitely sign him. They said they are sex
Florida
offender.
Man.
Sex offender you is the worst thing that I've ever heard in my life. What?
Sex offender you.
That is crazy. That is wild. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there was a trade rumor about Christian Kirk. It can't be real, right? And even if it isn't, do you want to talk through what that would possibly mean? We'll do it next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.